Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Phelps. He's Baskin. Chris Fedor joining us right now in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, of course, covers the Cavaliers for the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, works with us here at The Fan. Hello, my friend.
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
How are you?
I'm great.
Reaction to Toronto taking care of Golden State, and I don't think you can even mention it without throwing in the injuries to, obviously, two of the big three of the Golden State Warriors, or two of the big four in Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, that's what I wrote on Twitter last night. It's nothing against Toronto, and they earned this. They played really, really well. They did the things that they needed to do, both as an organization leading up to the NBA Finals, and then as a team during the NBA Finals against the Warriors. I thought their offensive game plan was really good. I thought the different things that they tried on defense were things that not every coach probably would have. I thought Nick Nurse had a really, really good series. And this all leads you to the big but that is coming, because I just don't think you can tell the story of the 2019 NBA Finals without talking about the fact that the Golden State Warriors were without Kevin Durant, were without Klay Thompson for one game, and then he left Game 6 early despite having a great start to that game. I just don't know that we know what would have happened without those injuries. I don't know that I can sit here and say that the result would have been similar in favor of Toronto. I just don't believe that. So why would I say that? And I just don't think you can tell the story of this NBA Finals without talking about what the Warriors had to play without, because we will never know now whether any team was capable of beating the Kevin Durant-led Golden State Warriors with a healthy Kevin Durant. They lost one game. One game in the NBA Finals in the KD era with KD on the floor. I think that's really, really telling.
Chris, I agree with you on that. And I said earlier, to play off of what you said, the Golden State Warriors have not won an NBA title without Kevin Durant, I think, if Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love don't get hurt. So that, to me, plays into what you just said. You can't really give Toronto complete credit because of the injuries. I've always thought that about the Cavs in 2015. Now, and both things will be debated forever. Bottom line is the Warriors won in 2015 and the Raptors won this year. Bottom line.
Right. Yeah, you're right. That's the bottom line. There's no doubt about that. But I think it also shows, Jeff and Andy, I think it shows what it has taken during this dynastic run of the Warriors to beat the Warriors in a series. And I know people don't like hearing it, but I think that just shows how great they truly are. Like, in order for the Raptors to win that game on the road last night, like, think about all of the things that it took for that to happen. And again, that takes nothing away from the Raptors, because they were good enough to go out and make the plays that they had to make to win that game. You know, Steph didn't make the shot that he needed to make, where Fred VanVleet did make the shot where he needed to make. So all of those things, you can talk about them all, and you're going to be accurate. But think about all of the stuff. In order for the Warriors to lose the two titles during this run, think about all of the things, the circumstances that needed to happen in order for them to not win the championship. And I think that's really, really telling, and I think it speaks to just how great of a team they are. And I think it also speaks to, in the NBA, these things do happen. Anything can happen. And you never know what's going to happen. I think that's the beauty of the NBA. You never say never.
I the one point that keeps coming back to my head here, though, is that when you say people are saying, you know, the Warriors played without, they played without, does that belittle Steph Curry? Does that belittle Draymond Green?
No, I mean
those guys are superstars, but they weren't able to, just like LeBron wasn't able to, carry an entire team on their own back.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a different level of superstar, right? I think there's a different level of star. I think there's a difference between all-star and superstar. I think there's a difference between good player and great player. I think there's a difference between great player and transformative player. Like, there are so many people around the NBA, guys, that feel like it is very, very difficult to build a franchise around a point guard because they just get taken out of a game in a different kind of way. That's why David Griffin, when he was here as general manager, always said dudes like Paul George, Jimmy Butler, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, they shift playoff series. They dictate outcomes in a way that other guys simply can't because they physically can't the same kind of way. I don't think it belittles Steph Curry. Steph Curry was being guarded by three guys at times last night, but that all had a domino effect, right? Because Klay wasn't there in the fourth quarter, the Raptors could change their defense against Steph Curry. Because Kevin Durant wasn't there in this series, the Raptors could approach their defensive game plan in a certain way against Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green. So there is a domino effect involved in these things. And I think when you're talking about Steph versus KD or KD versus Kyrie or KD versus Kevin Love, we're talking about maybe the best player in the NBA going into the NBA playoffs because of the injury to LeBron. Like, that's what the Golden State Warriors lost. They lost a megastar, a superstar in the prime of their career that dictates outcomes in playoff series and games. You don't replace that.
Chris Fedor joining us. Chris, I threw this out, and I think it's interesting. I don't necessarily buy it myself, but Toronto went for it, right? They made the trade for Kawhi Leonard knowing that will he re-sign? I doubt it. They knew they had 1 year with Kawhi Leonard. Keep your fingers crossed and see what happens. Could it be the beginning of a new era in the NBA where teams might be more willing, say like Boston with Anthony Davis? Let's take our shot. Let's give it 1 year and go. And now Toronto was in position. I mean, they were very good for 5 years previously, but they clearly knew this is one shot at this. And they did it, and it worked. Could that be happening in the NBA?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a copycat league. And I think teams try to emulate everything that works if they can. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think this also goes to Paul George, too. Like, did Paul George have Oklahoma City on his wish list when he was up for a trade? No, but he went there and they showed him why he should stay in Oklahoma City. And I don't know what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard. Maybe he stays, maybe he goes. But Toronto's advantage here in this Kawhi Leonard thing is the fact that they were willing to trade for him and show him what, one, Toronto is all about, two, the organization is all about, and three, he had this whole year to kind of form that bond with Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol and Pascal Siakam, and that mattered to somebody like Paul George. So I think what it is going to do, guys, I think it's going to embolden teams that aren't on Anthony Davis's desired list to say, you know what, who cares?
Yeah.
We're going to try and prove to you that you should be here. We're going to try and prove to you that we should be on your list. If you're in position to do that, not every team is in position to do that, but I absolutely do think more teams are going to take a swing like that and hope that they can convince the guy to stay.
Interesting.
All right, the one big takeaway I got from this whole thing was that you don't necessarily need to draft a superstar in the top, you know, as a lottery pick, that it is possible with good scouts and making sure that you can find a guy like Kawhi Leonard, that there's hope for teams, a little bit of hope that for these teams that don't put together a big three. But my bigger question, though, is what do you think the Cavs are going to do at five? And was the Bowl workout, were the Cavs there? Do you know?
The Cavs were there. They were at his pro day. There are some inside the organization that believe Bol Bol is one of the five best players in this year's draft, but there's a lot of baggage that comes with that. I mean, if you watched him play at Oregon, if you watched him leading up to college, the talent is obvious. This is a seven-footer that shoots it like a guard. This is a seven-footer that can handle out on the perimeter. He's really, really unique. He's very different, but he's never finished a full basketball season because of health-related issues. Mm. It's not just this foot issue that is the most recent. It's a long line of injury stuff that teams really have to sift through. So I don't know that a team would be willing to take that kind of gamble, and it would be an enormous gamble in the top 10 even on a guy like that. But, yes, The Cavs were there. The Cavs have watched him in person. When it comes to five guys, I just think it's really difficult for the Cavs to figure out who is the best for them at five. I think it's really difficult for teams between 5 and 10 to figure out how they're going to rank these guys. If you ask one team, they're going to have it one way. If you ask another team, they're going to have it another way. If you ask a team today, they're probably going to have it a way, and then next Monday, they're probably going to have it a different way, because it's, you can talk yourself into any one of these guys, and you can easily talk yourself out of any one of these guys. And you're going to have to figure out, okay, what are the correctable flaws or the most correctable flaws in each of these guys? They're going to work out DeAndre Hunter before the draft. It's supposed to be sometime next week. Maybe he leaves a lasting impression, and maybe that changes their mind. But as of today, I think it's something that they're still trying to figure out. And every time I've talked to anybody inside the organization or around the NBA about how do they rank these guys, I get the same answer. We still have a week to try and figure it out. It's just really hard.
Chris Fedor joining us. He's all over the Cavs stuff for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Do you think the Cavs make moves on draft night? Is it trading up from 5, down from 5, up from 26, into the second round? What do you think they do?
So before Dan Gilbert fell ill, there were a lot of conversations between members of the front office just about the approach that they wanted to take this offseason and like a bullet point list of things that they wanted to accomplish going into the draft, going into free agency, potential trades, all that different stuff. And Dan Gilbert basically was in the loop on all of it, signed off on all of it, and urged this front office to be as aggressive as possible. Even if that means taking on extra money, even if that means buying a second-round pick, even if that means trading for a third first-round pick, which in turn is going to boost their salary cap even more because then they have to pay the salary of three first-round picks instead of two. So they have gotten the green light. They have gotten the freedom to be as aggressive as possible if it's going to benefit the organization. I think they're going into this draft hoping to trade J.R. Smith's contract and hoping to find a way to get another second-round pick. Beyond that, if they could get up to number three, I think they would love to. I don't know that they believe they have the assets to go out and do it, or at least ones that they're willing to give up in order to make that kind of trade happen. But because the Cavs have future draft picks, because they have the freedom to add salary, because they have JR's contract, I would say that moving up is a possibility, moving down is a possibility, adding another second-round pick is a possibility. They have that kind of flexibility that I think not as many teams have. And the other thing that benefits them, if they want to get another first-round pick, Boston has three of them, San Antonio has two of them, so I think picks are going to be there to be had if the cost is right.
Chris, last thing, Cavs make a historic hire this week. Lindsey Gottlieb, women's coach at Cal, coming in. First time a women's head coach has left that job to come to the NBA as an assistant coach. So Lindsay with no NBA experience, she's watched some of it. John Beilein with no NBA experience, both college head coaches. It's an interesting, and we've heard the word culture thrown around. It looks like they're trying to build an interesting culture. I just can't put my finger on exactly what that is at this point. Can you?
Yeah, I think I can.
Okay, Jeff. Good.
I think there are traits that matter to the Cavs. Work ethic, toughness, when you're talking about just players that they're trying to add to this group. And I think when it comes to like coaches, there are traits that matter as well. And age is not involved in that. You know, race is not involved in that. Gender is not involved in that. They want forward-thinking, innovative people that are going to think outside the box, do things different, and find a way to communicate with these young guys that's going to make them better and going to make them follow. They want people that have been around successful cultures before or built those cultures themselves before. This is going to be about player development. It's going to be about the culture. It's going to be about growing pains, dealing with adversity, understanding that things aren't going to happen overnight. I think that's their plan. I don't know if that makes all the sense to you, Jeff, and how these people fit. But look, John Beilein, you know, built programs without McDonald's All-Americans. Right. So if you translate that to the NBA, that's without winning the lottery every single year, without the promise of a first overall pick. You know, Lindsey Gottlieb's teams in college were considered, quote-unquote, overachievers, where she was able to get the most out of that particular group. And I think that's what the Cavs are trying to do. And it may seem unconventional, but the people that work close with youngsters on a day-to-day basis are college coaches. They don't have the NBA experience, and that's something that they're going to have to figure out as they go. But the Cavs believe that because J.B. Bickerstaff has the NBA experience, he's going to be one that kind of allows Lindsey Gottlieb and John Beilein to make a smoother transition, and he's going to be able to help them along the way while they focus on day-to-day stuff, player development, instilling this culture that, that should be something that the Cavs think is going to be sustainable moving forward.
And it's interesting, Chris, because that could play right into what Toronto did this year. You know, with Nick Nurse taking a team right. with nobody picked higher than 15th and getting them to the NBA championship. Buddy, we appreciate your time. We know you're going to be absolutely slammed this week with the draft. We'll try and catch up with you if you have some time. But it's going to be a big week for the Cavaliers. Thanks, bud.
Anytime, guys. You know it. You can call me anytime.
Chris Fedor joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.